I'm very aware of the time. I know this is about the time we're usually starting to wrap up and head out, and I'm just getting started, but I am aware of it, and I know we have the lunch for everybody afterwards, and when we're done, like I said, veterans, we have a lunch for you and your family. You can go back and immediately start eating, and then when you're done, you can leave, but I hope you'll come and eat the meal that's been provided for you. It's been provided with love and appreciation, so I hope you can take part in that. 2 Timothy 4, I'm going to read this to you quickly and just give you some quick thoughts this morning as we're headed toward the conclusion of our service this morning. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee, therefore, before God. That word charge has several meanings. It means challenge. It means commission. It could also be used as the word command. So we see this is a military word. We see that Paul chooses this word. I challenge you. I commission you. I command you. So he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We see there in verse 5 the things that he tells this preacher boy, Timothy, to do during these coming days that he describes in chapter 3, verse 1 as perilous times. That word perilous means troubling. It means dangerous times. It means times that will be very, very perplexing. And that's the only place in the whole King James Bible where the word perilous occurs. And we see it as a word to describe the days of the church toward the return of Jesus Christ. And we see that during these last days, in verse number 5, he tells the preacher. Now, he writes this as one big long letter to Timothy, but because of the preservation of the Holy Spirit of this, it is now directed toward all of us Christians living in these last days. But he says that we need to watch. We need to be aware. We need to be sober. We need to be looking at what's happening around us. Then he tells him that he needs to endure. That word endure means don't give up. Stay. Endure, even through afflictions. Don't lose your faith. Don't quit. Don't walk away from what you believe and what you're standing for. Then he says, do the work of an evangelist. The evangelist is one who goes around and shares the gospel. The word gospel is the word good news. He says, during these last days, share the good news with the world. Do the work of an evangelist. Go around telling people that Jesus saves, that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is going to redeem them, and that Jesus is going to save them. That is the work of an evangelist. That's the message of an evangelist. Are you with me so far? Say amen. Amen. Then he says, make full proof of thy ministry. He is saying, get out there and do it all you can do to get it done. Make yourself available. Work as hard as you can. Leave it all on the field, son. Get out there and make full proof. Do all you can do where you're at with what you got, and how you can do it to do the work of the Lord. So we see that in verse 5. Now notice this, what Paul says as he's ready to sign off. By the way, students of the Bible are aware 2 Timothy is his last writing. It is his swan song. He will be killed soon after writing the very words that I'm reading. He will be beheaded for the cause of Christ. Paul will meet a very violent end, and he will die very soon. And he knows this. He sees it coming. His appeals have all been exhausted. He's been in prison for preaching the gospel there in Rome, and now he knows that he is about to sign off. Now, notice what he says here in verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. He knows he's about to be sacrificed. He knows he's about to be martyred for the cause of Jesus. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He's saying, Timothy, I'm going to be leaving you, man. I'm going to be going on. My departure time is here. But notice what he says in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice he says three things. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I have kept that faith. And then he says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I sure hope I have a crown to lay at the foot of Jesus. How many of you are with me on that? Man, I'm doing all I can. I'm not earning my salvation. That came through grace of Jesus Christ. None of us deserve to go to heaven. Our sins are many, but the grace of God is greater than our sin, and we have all been saved through the precious mercy and grace of Jesus. But those crowns are a different topic. Those rewards, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and I bring my reward with me." I hope when I stand before Christ that I have a crown to lay at his feet. We know the Bible speaks of seven separate crowns, and I don't have time to go through all that, but we know that there are crowns that we could earn through our faithfulness and our endurance and our work for the Lord of Christ, for the Word of Christ. But I like what he says here. We're thinking about veterans today, and we took time to greet and meet our veterans and to hear their stories, and it was time well spent. These people have given a lot to our country. You and I that have not served, we are benefiting greatly because of people who were willing to serve and people who continue to serve. All over the world, there are people standing on walls, and they're guarding those walls, and they're holding our freedoms, and we sleep at night peacefully because people guard our back in these military branches. And I'm so proud of each and every one of you, and I admire you, and I respect you. But when we think of a soldier, we understand that one of the biggest things that a soldier may be called upon to do is to fight. Is to fight. To fight that good fight. Paul said, "I fought the fight. I fought the fight. I have fought a good fight." He said, "I've been in the battle. I got involved in the conflict. I went to the front lines for Jesus Christ." And you know, I want to just give you this thought this morning as we think about our military and the need to have a military. We think about the necessity of it because there are people all around us who want to fight. People who would get it on with our country in a heartbeat if there were no walls, if there were no guards, if there were no tanks and jet planes and M4 rifles. There are countries that would love to come and take what we have and seize what we love and change the world that our country has created. Does anybody believe that? Amen. Why do I feel like I'm at a liberal convention with everybody going, "Huh? What's he talking about?" Y'all gave me that look where it was like, "What you talking about, Willis?" How many of you believe there are enemies of our country? Amen. Therefore, our military is of necessity because there are people who want to fight the fight. Therefore, we have to have people to fight the good fight for us. Now, Paul says that I fought a good fight as a Christian. We can see in the chapter earlier, in chapter 2, he tells us that everybody, every Christian, we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. He tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that Paul and others will write to compare Christianity to, but one of the greatest images is that of a soldier. And he says that you need to be a soldier, a good soldier, one who can endure hardness. And so we see here the reason why, because we're in a fight. Paul said, "I had to fight. I had to fight a good fight. I had to get involved in a battle." Beloved, I want to make this statement, and I hope you will get it. There are some things worth fighting for. Not everything's worth fighting for. Not everything's worth fighting over. But there are some things that are the good fight. And they're worth the fight. They're worth the trouble. Those are hills worthy to die on. Let me just throw a few things at you that are worth the fight. Number one, the cause of Christ is worth fighting for. I don't have time to take you there, but in 1 Samuel 17, David appears at a battle scene where all of the Israelites are huddled in fear due to one man, a godless Philistine who worships a fake god, is standing there mocking the armies of the living God and cursing the name of the living God. Of course, David gets there, he sees it, he's outraged. But David says something in his response. He says to the men standing there in fear, Is there not a cause? Do we not have a cause here? Why are we huddled in fear? He is saying, guys, there are some things worth fighting for. There's some things worth dying for. There's some things that we got to stand up for. We see in the cause of Christ that there are some things that we must stand and fight about, and it must be worthy to us. It must be something that is worth the fight. We must stand and fight for the causes of Christ. There are Christians dying for the cause of Jesus all over this world. As the last week has unfurled, Christians have died in countries where their Christianity is seen as a threat to the false gods that are worshipped in those lands. In the African Sudan, over the last year, hundreds of Christians have been slaughtered for their faith. And they're standing for their faith, seeing it as something that is worth the fight, even if it causes them to die. Boy, I admire that. We must fight for the cause of Christ in our politics. And I'll tell you why. Let me add to it. Our country is worth fighting for. How many of you believe America is worth fighting for?
Amen.
You know what? Sometimes some of you have been called on to grab a rifle and fight for our country, but all of us have a cause to fight by picking up a line and standing in it and casting a vote. We fight evil often through the polls. We fight evil often by getting in a long line and standing there waiting to cast a vote. But often that vote is just as important as standing there with a rifle in your hand. Politics is worth fighting for. We need to fight in our communities for the cause of Christ. We are witnessing a takeover of our country, not by a foreign military with tanks and airplanes and machine guns. We are seeing a takeover of our country by foreign ideals, foreign religions, and foreign political ideals. Socialism is worth fighting. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Some of you went to the other side of the world and you stood there with a rifle and you fought communism. And yet today we're watching us not willing to even go to a poll and fight for socialism or fight against it in this country. Oh my goodness. Socialism is worth the fight that we can fight against it. Islam is worth the fight to fight against it. Listen to me, beloved. I'm not trying to be mean or give hate speech, but I'm just giving you a warning. They are growing in our country. And they're growing through two ways. Number one, immigrating to our country. They're coming here in droves, bringing their false religion, bringing their anti-American rhetoric, and their hatred toward Christianity. You say, preacher, I'm not comfortable with all this. I know, but it's going to get worse. You don't like watching people blowing up buildings in the name of Allah Akbar. It's going to get worse. There's some things worth fighting, amen? They're coming in droves, but also they are going to take over through having large families. This is an interesting study that I've seen just recently. The average American family now is averaging like 1.4 kids. I don't know what a 0.4 kid looks like. But there are families in America, especially in generations millennial and Y and Z. Those three, or the last three, are choosing to not even have kids. Many choosing to be sterilized in their 18 to 22 range where they are choosing to never have children. You're seeing American family after American family choosing to not have kids. Meanwhile, Muslims are moving here, with the exception of Brother and Miss Wickham over here. They're keeping us in the game. Keeping us in the game. The large family. American families having one, maybe two kids, they're averaging 8 to 10, sometimes even 12 kids. It'll be a day where they just simply outnumber us in many of these large cities. You say, that's crazy. Well, I don't know. Did you watch the news in New York last week?
Yeah.
A America-hating, Jesus-hating Muslim was elected over one of our largest cities to be the mayor. An outspoken communist, not a subtle communist, An outspoken communist. Now, I don't know if any of you study history. Some of you don't, because like you watched Titanic and you were shocked when the ship sank. I get it. Some of you watched Pearl Harbor and you were just as surprised as they were when they were attacked. Some of you don't study history. I get it. But if you study history, study any country that has fallen under a communist regime. And ask yourself if that should be the direction of our country. Well, there are people now that are voting people in who are unabashedly communist. AOC, unabashedly communist. Bernie Sanders, unabashedly socialist. This is not a pro-Trump rally. My faith is not in Donald Trump. Donald Trump will be done in office and America will still go on. But it is worth fighting for. It's worth us fighting for and going to the polls. And it's worth us having Christians rise up and run for political offices. Because I guarantee you they are doing that. They're getting into our politics to change it to the countries they came from. I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of Americans making makeshift boats to float their whole family across the Gulf to flee our government. I'm from Florida. We regularly saw people trying to flee the communists of Cuba, risking their entire family's life in little makeshift tubs, hoping that they could come across and experience the life you and I take so for granted. We're not seeing that in reverse. We're not seeing that in reverse. We need to fight the crime lords that are coming to our country to bring drugs and cartel-type crime. Hey, that's worth fighting. And I'm saying the Christians of this country need to get into the fight. America's worth fighting for. And the causes of Christ are worth fighting for. Listen to me, the fight for this book is worth fighting. The attack of Satan is great on this book. One of the reasons why I believe it to be so true is the attack of Satan is so great against it. When was the last time you heard a great movement against the Quran? Even people who don't believe in it will be defensive of it. They'll show respect toward it. Greatest atheist in the world will call it the Holy Quran. I don't want to be disrespectful. Meanwhile, there's an unholy hatred toward this book. How do you explain that? Oh, listen, there's some fights worth fighting. And Satan and his evil band fight this book like no other book on this planet. He fights the purity of it. He fights the validity of it. He fights the use of it in our society. There's no reason why they don't want a Ten Commandments displayed other than the devil hates it. Because on the Ten Commandments hang all the laws. But you know where he fights it the most? He fights it in your private life. You ever notice how sleepy you get when you try to read your Bible? How many of you have ever sat down to read a chapter before you went to sleep and you woke up the next morning with your Bible stuck to your forehead? Or you found where you were writing notes and you got halfway through it, didn't finish it, fell asleep? You ever found when you read your Bible how your mind can go wander? You ever been in the middle of prayer and have a horrible thought come in your mind? You think that's an accident? No, the devil does everything he can to distract and detain and detour you from being in the Word of God. This Bible is a huge threat to him. And the fight for this book is worth fighting for. And I have deemed the fight in my life for the preservation of this King James Bible to be a fight worth fighting for. I've had to make a stance on it. I've lost people who have gone to other churches because of my stance to preserve this King James Bible, to preach from it, to hold it up high. But I deem it a fight worth fighting for. Listen, number three, the fight to do right is a fight worth fighting. Do you know that inside of you there's a good fight going on every day? Some of you had it this morning when you woke up and the devil said, don't go to church today. They won't miss you, and you won't miss it. You can catch it up next week. You've had a busy week. Just stay home. And those thoughts were going on in your mind. You were like, my big toe's hurting. It's hurting. I need to stay home. And you had a fight going on. And that fight went on inside of you. And it's a battle where you heard one part of you saying, man, I really need to just get up and go to church. And another part of you was saying, eh, it's not that big a deal. And there's a fight that goes on in you every single day. And that is the fight to do what is right. It always comes with a fight. And the fight is daily. It's constant. And it's going to be for all of your days. You'll have to fight to serve Jesus. You'll have to fight to please the Lord. You'll have to fight to be in God's will. You'll have to fight to do what God is calling you to do. You'll have to fight yourself. And that is a huge battle to do what you need to do. But I want to say that keep fighting to do right because it's worth the fight. Righteousness is never easy. It's never popular. It's never convenient. It's never immediately gratifying. But righteousness is a great crown of glory for those that fight the battle of self-will to obtain it. When you look at people in your life that achieve that place where you see them as righteous people, isn't it a crown of glory in their life? How many of you know somebody that you see as a righteous person? You know why? Because they fought a battle. They could have just as easily been unrighteous as other people you may know. They could have just as easily destroyed their testimony. They could have just as easily took the easier road to instant gratification of sins. But somewhere in that, they fought a battle inside of them, the good fight, and they said, no, my righteousness is worth the fight. Some things are worth fighting for. Don't ever stop fighting that battle that goes on inside of you to do right. Don't ever give in to living in a wicked way. Fight yourself to stay in church. Fight that battle inside to stay in this book. Fight that battle to stay on your knees and to become more like Jesus. It's a battle worth fighting in your life. Don't ever get discharged from it. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. One day the Lord will call you home and that battle will end. But until that day, every single day, you've got to get up and put on your armor and get ready to fight in order to do right in your life. Anybody out there this morning? Amen. Now lastly, the fight for our homes and children is a fight worth fighting. Listen, beloved, Satan wants your home and he wants your family. And he'll destroy everything you've got if he has opportunity. I believe there's a devil out there. I don't believe he's mythical. I don't believe he's imaginative. I don't believe he's something that God put in the Bible just to scare little children. I believe he's a real creature. The greatest trick Satan ever played on mankind was when he convinced us that he was not real. But he is real. And he wants to destroy these teenagers. And somewhere there's got to be somebody standing in the gap and say, over my dead body. Somewhere there's got to be a mom and dad on their knees and saying, God, protect my children. Standing in the way. There's got to be Sunday school teachers. There's got to be youth leaders and good, solid Christian school teachers. And there's got to be mentors and respected church members who stand in the way in this good fight, because Satan wants to destroy the homes of our church and the marriages of our church, and he wants to destroy the children in your home. And you can't ever stop fighting him for it. You've got to make him earn every inch that he gains. And I'm saying that we must be like a soldier and get into the good fight. Be willing to fight. Stand and be solid for the causes of Christ. Be willing to be mocked. Be willing to be ostracized. Be willing to be disliked. Be willing to stand alone even if needed, but stand. May we stand as good soldiers in these perilous days. I'll close with this. A study of history gave me this closing illustration, but I was studying the seven-day war that Israel was engaged in soon after they became a nation. They declared their independence, and with 24 hours, they were in war. They were outnumbered, outclassed. Their enemies had bigger tanks, better guns, better planes. And Israel was in war quickly. There were a group of soldiers that were placed to hold a garrison. The Egyptian tanks rolled in, a big tank fleet. The Israeli armies were no match that day for those tanks. And those tanks rolled in and quickly crushed that garrison of Israeli soldiers. They all died. As they came in later and looked at the battlefield, they saw where they had entrenched themselves to try to hold off this tank fleet that was coming in. You know what they discovered when they studied those soldiers? They all had small arms, small machine guns, small weaponry, nothing to match what was coming at them. But many of them had taken leather straps and had brought their leg up and tied it off, whereas they were lying in that trench, they could not get up and run away. Some of them were literally crushed to death under the rollers of those tanks. But they stood and they fought, believing that this was a good fight and that some things were worth fighting for. Do you believe there's anything worth fighting for? We're living in a day and age where many of our young people don't believe anything's worth fighting for. Is our country worth fighting for? Are our homes worth fighting for? Is that Bible worth fighting for? Get in the fight. Get in the fight. Stay in that fight to do right. Righteousness is worth the battle. Let's bow for a word of prayer. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and when I do, the altars will be open. Let me ask you this. If you died today, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? Are you sure that you're born again? Do you wonder about it? Do you go to bed at night thinking, what if I had died today? Would I go to heaven? My friend, you don't have to live in that fear. We can help you today. We don't want to force your hand into it. But we do want to, with all the hope that we have, beseech you to give your heart to Jesus. Because he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And by doing so, he provided a way for you to obtain salvation. And we can show you in the Word of God how you can obtain that salvation. All it's going to cost you is a few moments of your time to listen to that information. But we'll have someone take you to a private room and show you how you can be saved. What is worth more than your soul? What fight is greater than your own soul? Maybe you're here today and you're watching the country as I am, and you're watching the news. Listen, Christians, we're people of peace. As a pastor, I'm a person of peace. I don't go around looking for fights. I don't go around looking for things to get into conflict with people. But as Christians, when it's time to stand, we got to stand. Sometimes that place to stand is in a voting poll. Maybe at work when Jesus is being mocked. Maybe at school when you see the other kids bullying and making fun of somebody for their faith, for their Christian lifestyle. Maybe that's a good fight. Maybe it's time to stand then. I hope we'll fight the good fight. And be able to say, as Paul did on our last day of life, man, I fought the best I could for the things that mattered. Dear Lord, when I ask everybody to stand, we'll be ready to help anybody who's wondering how to be saved. If they'll simply come up to me, I have counselors ready to take them to side rooms to show them the beautiful, beautiful gospel of Jesus. And how they can be forgiven of their sins. Lord, I pray that the spirit of this message will flow over our people. And that they will realize, whether they want it or not, there's a fight going on around us. There's a fight going on within. There's a fight going on without. There's a fight for the virtues of this country and the very future of it. There's a fight going on in your soul every day that you wake up. on whether you're going to be righteous or unrighteous today. Let us stay in the fight. Give our people the tenacity to get in it, the grit to stay in the fight. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all you've done. Are you ready to come? Let's all.